Okay.
Four lights out.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'll just do a quick review.
Yep.
Yesterday, we first of all finished up the Gemara before, at the end of last Perek, trying to figure out whether or not a house is attached or detached, and at what point, if you bow down to it, are there any supports from Me'ila that show that if you bow down to it, that it would become us or not? And we had a whole discussion of that, but ultimately, we were not able to come with a conclusive proof. We did have discussions about what happened if you built the house first and then was makdish it, versus if you makdish the supplies and then built it yourself at that time. There was a whole discussion about that. We started the new perek, which is about shliach she'asa shlichuso, which is that, again, we said the fascinating thing about me'ila is that it's all about hana'a. And if the shliach was appointed by the balabayis to do something that violates me'ila on behalf of the balabayis, we actually say the balabayis violates me'ila, provided the shliach actually carried out what he was supposed to be doing. Again, he had a particular assignment. Okay, so again, the shliach is someone who is appointed to do a job. He's an agent. The mishaleach is the person who sends him, and shlichut is the general term for this. Where again, if he did his shlichut, if he fulfilled what the balabayit had told him, then the balabayit does me'ila. But if the shliach changed from what the balabayit told him and did something else, then the shliach himself is liable for me'ila. And the Mishnah gave a number of cases. The reason why I'm going through this is because these are very, very important to today's Gemara. Right? So the case where the balabayit did me'ila, okay, we didn't say an explicit case, but let's say again, the balabayit told the shaliach, I want you to give these guests, or I want you to get me meat. The shaliach gets a meat, or a particular meat, which again had me'ila relevant to it. Then there's me'ila on behalf of the balabayit, but if he told the balabayit, says the Mishnah, if the balabayit told the shaliach, I want you to get my guests some meat, and he got them liver, or vice versa, he said, I want you to get them liver, and he got them some meat, then that's considered changing from what the balabayit said, and therefore the person who violates me'ila is not the balabayit, but rather the shaliach. Okay, in that case, the shaliach changed, so he violates me'ila. Okay, again, hashaliach mal. However, we had the final case of the Mishnah, which we're also going to discuss today, which was the balabayit told the shaliach, give them one piece of meat. Again, this was all talking about hektish meat. The balabayit said, give one piece of meat. The shaliach gave them two pieces of meat, told them they could have two, and they took three. Everyone does me'ila. Each one added an additional piece of meat, and therefore they're liable for the meal on that additional piece. The Gemara had started, and we'll restart from the Gemara today. We'll go through the first part a little bit quickly because it's Chazara, but I don't think we can pick up in just dumb in the middle of a line. Ask the Gemara, Mantana. Go ahead. We are on Chaf Amud Beis at the very top. We're on 20b, the very first word.
Okay.
Mantana, which Tana? And again, we try to often identify who says what. Mantana, de kol milsa, that everything, de mimlach ala shaliach, that the shaliach asks about, tarti mili havyan, says that they are two different things. Meaning, we see from the Mishnah that the fact that meat and liver are two different things, the Gemara is assuming the reason for that is because if you were going shopping for someone and they said, get me meat, you would call them up and say, hi, they only have liver, do you still want it? Okay, that's what's called the mimlach alei shliach, that a shliach would ask about. Okay, again, request counsel, whatever it is. Some people say mimlach means to change one's mind. I don't think that's a good translation at all.
To seek counsel.
Yeah, it's to ask about.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know. I happen not to know, again, the etymology. I don't know why mimlach specifically. Maybe because a melech would seek counsel. I can come up with drash.
Yeah.
But I don't know if that's actually why. Anyways, the bottom line is, again, the Gemara is assuming that the definition here is whether or not you would ask someone to double-check if you were going to the grocery store for them, basically. Okay? Or in any situation, really. Amar of Chista, so the Gemara asks, who is this? Amar of Chista, answers, Diloka Rabbi Akiva. It's the opinion that opposes Rabbi Akiva. The time they have a Mishnah. Hanoder min hayerek. If someone makes a neder, they make a vow not to eat any vegetables. Mutar bidiluin, the Tanakhama says, that such a person is permitted to eat gourd, squash, etc., because that's not closely enough related to yerek. For Rabbi Akiva, oser. And Rabbi Akiva disagrees. Okay? So therefore we see that, why does Rabbi Akiva say that it's prohibited, must mean that even though clearly, right, well, first of all, on a basic level, according to the Tanakhama, gourd is not included in vegetables. According to Rabbi Akiva, it is. The question is why? Okay, and again, the Gemara is going to make an assumption about this too, which is, in general, someone can discuss that. There's a general rule in, did you guys learn Nedarim?
Yeah.
So what's the general rule about B'nedarim, Halchim Achar, Lashon, B'nei, Adam? Right? The general rule for Neder is that you follow regular human language. It's not necessarily a halachic definition or terminology. It's what people call X or Y. So it's just interesting because you could have started with that now here and say, well, Nedarim is different. Nedarim, you go after Lashon B'nei Adam. But the Gemara doesn't do that for whatever reason. I'm sure there's someone that raises that issue. Yeah. Anyways, and you can look it up in Nedarim as well. I'm sure we have, again, I'm sure there's discussion of this. But anyways, the bottom line is, again, Tanakhama holds it is not included in vegetables. The gourd is not included in vegetables. Rabbi Akiva holds it is. The Gemara's assumption is because a shaliach would, if you went to the store and you said, someone said, get me a few vegetables, okay? So if you saw, again, cucumbers, you'd get it. If you saw tomatoes, well, I won't use tomatoes. Tomatoes are a bad example. If you saw peppers, the guy would get it. If you saw lettuce, you would get it. But let's say you saw gourds.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. We're just recapping yesterday's Gemara. We're reading through it. We're four lines down on Chaf Amud Bet on 20b.
Thank you.
So again, so clearly in this case, a person would go back to the person who sent them and say, okay, do you want gourd? So Tanakhama says the fact that you would go back and ask means it's something different. Means it's clearly not included in what you were originally sent to get. Rabbi Akiva says, no, the fact that you would even ask about it, you wouldn't ask if you should get them bread, right? You wouldn't ask if you should get them a chocolate bar, so it shows that it is related. Okay, that is how the Gemara is explaining this machlokas between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Akiva. Says the Gemara, Abaye Amar, but Abaye says, no, this is new Gemara now, okay? Abaye Amar, Abaye says, Afilu Teima Rabbi Akiva. Okay? Even if you say it's Rabbi Akiva, okay, it's very, very simple. Milo ba'il im luche. Do you not need to ask? Do you not need to check? Meaning, okay, let's see Rashi. Here Rashi explains this because it's a very vague statement. V'hainu ta'ama. And says Rashi, so we're in Rashi, afilu tamar v'kivahi, which is opposite, like almost at the bottom of the Gemara, almost at the bottom of the skinny lines. It's about 10 lines up from the middle-sized lines in Rashi. Afilu tamar v'kivahi, why? V'hainu ta'ama. Okay, and this is the reason, d'chinasan lahan kaved, that when he gave them the liver, ma'al, why? Mipnei shenasan lahen midaito. Okay. Because he gave it to them of his own accord. Dimilo ba'i im luchi b'val habayis? Im yitain lahem kaved olo? He says, because regardless, the person has to ask in this case. Meaning, even our Mishnah can be in accordance with Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says that asking, again, the fact that one would ask shows that it's the same type of food. But he says, no, there's a difference. Because when, you know, again, the person's asking you what to buy from the store, okay, fine, that's one type of case. But over here, at the end of the day, he should have asked the balabait in this case, in the case of the Mishnah. Again, he didn't ask the balabait. But he should have had to ask the balabait because it was the balabait's liver he was feeding them. Okay, and to be giving it away to someone else, he definitely should have asked in that case. So therefore, okay, in our Mishnah specifically, it would be okay even to say that it's Rabbi Akiva, because in this particular case, Rabbi Akiva would have said that he should have had to ask the Balabait. Meaning Rabbi Akiva's definition, essentially what the Gemara is saying, is Rabbi Akiva's definition of what's the same thing may change in this particular case. And you can read on Rashi, right? Says Rashi, you can acknowledge that they're the same thing, but so long as you say the shaliach should have asked the Baal HaBayit before giving them the liver, that means the shaliach did something of their own accord. Okay, again, meaning it's nothing to do whether it's one food or two foods or seven foods. Says Rashi, it could very well be the same food. But even if it's the same food, we still have an expectation that you ask. and you, Shaliach, did not ask, therefore you did this of your own accord, and you are chayav for me'ilah, not the balabayit. Fair? Okay, that's Abaye's. And ki amru rabbanan, when the sages repeated this, kamei de Rava, in front of Rava, who was a famous combatant of Abaye, in many machlokos, okay, many machlokos, with Abaye and Rava arguing, and by the way, who wins? Anybody remember? Abaye versus Rava. Who wins? Almost always, except for six cases. Yeah, you remember the six cases? Yal Kigam?
I can't remember.
But no, I wouldn't either remember what the six cases are unless I happened to look them up the other day.
In a recent
it's all over Shas.
So Rava usually.
Rav, correct. Rava always wins, except for Halacha. Kabaye bi Yal Kigam. Yud Ayin Lamid Kuf Gimel Mem. It's a bunch of specific cases across Shas where we rule in accordance with Abaye. The only reason I happen to be thinking of this is because we were learning recently the law of halacha kirav b'isuri uchshmuel bedini, right? That in monetary matters we follow Shmuel, whereas in iser v'heter matters we follow Rav. And that came up in something I was learning with some students, and they weren't very familiar with rules of psak. They had never seen this concept before. What do you mean we have a rule about who we paskin like? That's a very interesting question. I'll pose it to you. Was the rule composed after all of the machlokos were decided, or was it composed in advance?
During.
So after you saw a few machlokos and we paskin like Rava, so he said, here's the rule. So I said it would have had to have been after in some cases. It could have potentially been before in other cases. I thought it was a very interesting question. The other reason why I'll say it is because there's actually my Rebbe in grade 10, Rabbi Rakov, was very upset that one of the Mikraot Gedolot had moved some of the commentaries to the back. In particular, there were two commentaries in the old Mikraot Gedolot that were moved to the back, the Chizkuni and the Da'at Zakenim. Da'at Zakenim is a collection, I don't know if many of you know this, from Tosfot. We know Rashi on Chumash, right? Rashi on Chumash is our bread and butter, particularly yours. But there's also commentaries of Tosfot on the Chumash. They're called collections of the Zakenim. So there's Da'at Zakenim, Hadar Zakenim, and he was very upset that they moved this to the back of the Chumash, because he felt, if it was originally in the front of the Chumash, who are you to move it to the back? That's what he felt. So every year, Parshas Lech Lecha, the week before, he would ask his students, where in the following Parsha can you find an allusion to the fact that the Halacha is like Shmuel Bedini and Rav B'Isuri? This is what he would ask. Where can you find an allusion that the Halacha follows Shmuel in monetary matters, and that it follows Rav in regards to laws of Isser V'Heter? And in fact, the Da'at Zakenim, I believe, on this week's Parsha says, we have the fight of the four kings against the five. Arba Melachim, what are the names of the four kings? Vahi Bimei Amraphel Melech Shinar, Aryoch Melech Elasar, Kedal Amar Melech Elam, Vesidal Melech Goyim. Okay? Rashi tells us what the first name means, but he doesn't tell us what any of the other names mean. So Tosfot note that Aryoch was a nickname for Shmuel. So Aryoch Melech Elasar, Aryoch, the king of Elasar, say Tosfot, Aryoch refers to Shmuel, like it does in Shas. Melech is king, meaning we regard him as correct, Elasar, in cases that are not Isser V'Heter. That was Tosfot's allusion. Aryoch, Shmuel is the king, Elasar, except for in cases of Isser V'Heter. So as remembering my Rebbe this week, figured I would share some of the Torah that he brought, not that he composed this. This is, of course, from the Bali HaTosfot.
Elasar.
Ella means except for
Ella,
Sar Isser V'Heter.
Sar Isser V'Heter, okay.
That's a cute allusion. Is it Pshat on the Pasuk? Most certainly not. Is it Remez? Maybe. But it's definitely a good way to remember it. You don't forget the halacha about which cases are like which when you hear that Pasuk anymore. Now whenever I hear it, I sort of have this fond memory. So it's this week's Parsha. I figured it's good to share Torah from someone else, and now, Baruch Hashem, some of the newer Mikraot Gedolot put it back in the front. Okay, let's continue. So, again, the halacha is normally like Rava, yet when Rava was told this, what did he say? Amar Lahu, he said to the rabbis who told him this, Shapir ka Amar Nachmeni. Nachmeni is a nickname for Abaye, just like Aryoch is a nickname for Shmuel. Mm-hmm. Shapir ka Amar Nachmeni, this is, what Nachmeni said is correct, is good, meaning he agreed with Abaye. He said, Abaye, you're spot on this time. Ask the Gemara, Mantana dipalig alei de Rabbi Akiva. Who's the opinion who disagrees with him? We saw that Tanakama disagrees with Rabbi Akiva. Who disagrees, in fact? Says the Gemara, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. It's actually Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, the Tanya, because we have another braita about Nidarim. Hanoder min habasar, one who promises not to eat meat, says the Tanakama of this braita, do not assume that that's the same as the Tanakhama as the other Braita. Again, different people. Okay? Says the Tanakhama, Asur bechol minei basar. It is prohibited to have any types of meat. Ve'asur. And here is what is included. Barosh, the head, raglayim, the feet, the kaneh, the kaved, the lev. Okay? The kaneh is the, usually we say, one of the pipes. Okay?
The trachea,
the kaved, liver, lev, heart. Ve'asur, bibisar ofos. And you are prohibited to have even chicken. Even chicken is not allowed. We're in the middle of Chaf Amud Beis, Mac in the middle now. Okay? Umutar bibasar dagim v'chagavim. And it's permitted to have meat of fish and meat of grasshoppers because no one, as we've said in the past, or as I said in my kashrut course last week, calls those or considers those meat, right? We don't consider those meat even in halacha. Right? Fish, we say, is a different category. Okay. Rav Shimon Gamliel matir. However, Rav Shimon Gamliel disagrees with this opinion. He says, no, it's totally fine to have barosh, uvaraglayim, head and feet, kana, the trachea, kaved, the liver, ofos, uvedagim, uvachagavim, or you can have birds, or you can have fish, or you can have grasshoppers. V'chein haya, Rav Shimon ben Gamliel omer, and then we have a nice piece of rhetoric from Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. So he would say, kravayim lav basar hein, the innards are not meat, v'ochlehen lav bar inish, and someone who eats them is not a man. That was his statement. His point is to say in all of this, okay, that when someone swears off of meat, it doesn't include any of these bizarre other types of meat that no one considers meat. Okay, it doesn't include innards. And it doesn't include, what?
Other organs of the animal.
Correct, and also birds,
yeah.
Notably. Okay, this is, although there is an opinion that birds are not included in basar b'chalav, in the Gemara. The Gemara talks about there was a place where they used to actually eat birds cooked in milk. They considered it okay because birds, they understood from the pasuk, were excluded from the laws of basar b'chalav. This is, again, is a slightly different idea. Ultimately, we go after lashon b'nei adam, again, what people, the language that people use when it comes to nidarim. But the point is, Rav Shimon Gamliel says, there is a distinction between meat and liver. Okay, so that is the opinion, again, the simplest, first, foremost opinion of our Mishnah, which disagrees with Rabbi Akiva, even though, technically speaking, our Mishnah could be Rabbi Akiva also. This is the opinion that disagrees with Rabbi Akiva and says, anytime you would ask about it, it means that it's distinct enough, not that it's similar enough. Again, Rabbi Akiva says, if you were to, again, be sent to the supermarket to buy meat, and you saw only heart meat there, you would call the guy up and say, do you want me to get heart meat? Rabbi Akiva says, that's a sign that it's the same thing. And the Tanakhama, which we have now identified as Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, Tanakhama of the first Braita, of the Mishnah, that is, would say that no, the fact that you are asking shows that they are different enough. Mm-hmm. Questions? Beautiful. Okay. Says the Gemara, Ula Tanakhama, Maishna bibisar ofos, asks the Gemara, well, one sec, the first opinion, okay, what is special about bisar ofos, the meat of birds? Okay, let's say chicken. Why? Mishum deragil inish lo de'amar, because a person will regularly say, lo ashkechi bisra dechiyusa, I didn't find animal meat, va'asai bisra de'tzipara, so therefore I brought meat of a bird, meaning, let's say again, something like chicken. Says the Gemara, so again, the Tanakhama's logic is, why is indeed chicken included in meat? Because a person will go to the store, again, if I'm going shopping, and my wife says, buy meat, apparently says, well, I'm going to come home, and I'm going to say, oh, there was no meat, so I just got chicken instead. So again,
Without checking.
Okay? Maybe with checking, but presumably now it just says without checking. Says the Gemara, one second. Okay? Ihachi, if so, hachinami avid inish lememra, so too, avid inish, a person will, lememra, say, lo ashkechi bisra dechiyusa, I didn't find meat, v'asai dagim, so I brought fish instead. Saying the fact that someone would come home and say, yeah, I didn't find X, so I'm bringing Y as a substitute, doesn't mean it's the same thing.
No.
Doesn't mean it's the same thing again. It may be a very fine substitute, but that doesn't mean it's the same type of food. Okay, the Gemara is essentially asking, the Tanakhama's logic is, yeah, if you didn't find meat, you'd bring back chicken. Says the Gemara, no, that's not because chicken and meat are the same thing. They're different things. Just one is a good substitute. And what's my proof to that? Because again, sometimes you'd go to the store and you'd come and bring back fish. Right? And you say, oh, I didn't find any meat, so I brought fish for supper. It's also good protein. Right? Answers the Gemara. Okay. Amar of Papa said, Beyom hakaza askinan. We're dealing with a day on which one bloodlet. Okay? And there were various superstitions / medical advice that were very present. Bloodletting was a very fascinating part of their lives for many, many hundreds of years, even more than 1,000, exactly, Bunkus. I wrote an interesting article. At least I found it interesting. Not the part that I wrote, but the part that I researched. About, we know that bloodletting was associated with what other action? Haircutting, right? The barbers were also the bloodletters. So I have a theory. I wrote a long, long article about the minhagim during Sfirat HaOmer, why we have the practice not to marry and why we have the practice not to get haircuts, and I traced the history of all of the various customs that relate to Sfirat HaOmer. But one of the customs that I noticed is that originally, when we look at the sort of when the customs were really taking hold, specifically the custom of not haircutting, we see also a very strong opinion that says the reason why we don't bloodlet during this time is because it's a dangerous time. It's a time of uncertainty, and therefore we don't bloodlet. And shortly after, you see, we don't allow haircuts. So I put forth the theory that perhaps because they were related, people weren't going to the barber to bloodlet because they were nervous about the time. That would explain how, according to the opinion that it was about nervousness, why they also weren't getting haircuts. Because we don't elsewhere see when someone's nervous necessarily that they don't get haircuts. We do see if they think it's a time of bad luck, so they might not want to open wounds, they might not want to get married, that I can see. But to not get a haircut because there's some bad luck doesn't make any sense. So this juxtaposition of haircutting and bloodletting might explain that theory. Anyways, lots of other interesting things. Correct. I think it was that's to some degree what it was. But I think it was just a joint thing. You went in, you got your shave, and your bloodletting. Anyway, so the Gemara is talking about bloodletting. One of the things they believed in those days was that you should not have chicken when you're bloodletting. Says the Gemara, how do we know? Amar fava yom hakazas kinan. We're talking, they would not have fish or chicken. We're going to see first fish. Rafapa, so again, Amar fava, Rafapa answers, biyom hakazas kinan. We're talking about a day of bloodletting. Delo achil inish dagin, that people wouldn't eat fish. So therefore, no, you would not bring fish back for supper because it was a bloodletting day and you didn't want anyone to get sick. Says the Gemara, ihachi tzipara nami. If so, then you shouldn't bring back chicken either. Or tzipara nami lo. Okay, it depends on your girsa. Tzipara nami lo nechol. You should also not eat that. De amar Shmuel, as Shmuel said, de mesukar v'achal tzipara. If you had bloodletting and you ate bird, you ate chicken, parach libe kitzipora, your heart would start to race and start to flap like a tzipor, like a bird. So again, this was the understanding that they had then, that you shouldn't eat fish and non-animal meat, really. You shouldn't eat fish and you shouldn't eat chicken on a day of bloodletting. So it can't be that it was on a day of bloodletting, because that in that case, everyone wouldn't be okay with chicken either. Chicken would be just as bad as fish. Okay, so we still haven't found a way to distinguish between fish and meat.
There's two different words for bloodletting.
Yeah.
Kaza and...
Yeah, and misukar. Misukar. Yeah.
They both mean the same thing?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know the specific reason why it uses two. I don't know if it's from different times. Hakaza is more of like a Hebrew word, I think. Maybe I'm wrong. Lahakiz.
Also changed ofot to tzipor.
Yeah, my guess is it's an Aramaic versus Hebrew type of thing. But it's possible they also have two specific meanings. Rashi has like, he says here, shikiz dam bichtafeha, bikitfeha. Okay, which means specifically to bloodlet from your shoulder. So maybe misukar is specifically that case, I don't know. But I would guess it's more of an Aramaic versus Hebrew thing. Okay, so again, Damar Shmuel said, di misukar, one who, again, had this, ve'achal tzipara, and ate a tzipor, parach libe ke tzipara, his heart will flap, will fly like a tzipor, ve'od tanya, and we also learned, in makizin dam, one should not bloodlet, lo al hadagim, ve'lo al haofot, that again, there's an equivalent between dog, fish, and oaf, bird. Velo al basar maliach, and not over salty meat. So therefore, again, this cannot sufficiently explain why the Tanakhama, again, would disagree with Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel about the case of Ofod, about the case of birds. Says the Gemara, El Amar of Papa, or Papa changes. He says something new. Biyoma dechayvin le'ene askinan. It's on a day where the person's eyes hurt. And again, they used to believe, delo achil dagim, that on such a day, you should specifically not eat fish. Okay, so again, the Tanakhama was saying, on a day when someone's eyes were hurting and people don't eat fish, okay, that is the reason why, even though you would bring something home as a substitute, the substitute is, in fact, considered in the same category. Since you would not bring back fish as a substitute, fish is not prohibited when you made this original neder. And that sort of wraps up the sugya over here. Okay, any questions? Again, the bottom line is, okay, we have a machloket whether or not the shaliach asking would make something two different things. And in the subsequent follow-up of the Gemara, whether the shaliach simply bringing something instead as a substitute would make it the same thing or something else. Ultimately, again, we have our Mishnah, which considers them two different things, okay, between meat and liver. Okay, that's the bottom line here. And there's various applications for nedarim. Okay, Amar lo, tein lo chaticha. And this was a problem that some of you were bothered by yesterday. We had in the Mishnah, okay, we had the balabai told the shaliach, I want you to give them one piece of meat. The shaliach told them, no problem, take two pieces of meat. And they took three pieces of meat. Everyone added an additional piece of meat, which they violated, they did me'ilah upon. Therefore, everyone is liable for me'ilah. Right? The balabai is responsible for the first piece of meat that they ate. The shaliach is responsible for the second piece of meat that they ate, and they are responsible for the third piece that they ate. Okay, all good. Says the Gemara, Shma mina, Mosif al shlichuso, have shaliach. Ask the Gemara, Shma mina, is this a proof that Mosif al shlichuto, if you add on what you were told to do, have shaliach, that you're still considered a shaliach? Meaning, you weren't sure yesterday, when we initially learned this, to say, is this really following what the balabai told him? The balabai told him one, and he did two. Is doing more than what you were told, says the Gemara, is this a proof that doing more than what you were told is considered shlichut, for example? Okay, again, we can think of many other cases where it's like this. Okay, a guy tells some of his friends, buy me a lottery ticket. He buys him three lottery tickets. Right? So now what's the story? Who's responsible for that? Who has to pay for that? Well, right? Why? Because he's saying, I bought you one, but I bought you three.
More importantly, if it wins, who wins?
Yes, that's a separate question, but it hinges on whose is it.
It doesn't nullify the shlichut.
So again, the Gemara is saying, Shma mina, and is asking this as a question. Is it true that most of al shlichut have a shaliach? Or is it that we say, no, I asked for one, you bought me three, you didn't fulfill what I told you? Okay, that's the question. Amar of Sheshet, that in this case, Rav Sheshet is going to give an answer. De Amar, shaliach, that the shaliach actually said, Tol echat midaito, I want you to take one because of what the balabayit said, ve'achat midaiti, and one because of what I say, meaning he actually fulfilled it very distinctly. It's like when you go to the grocery store and you say, okay, can I have two separate bills, please? Okay? One was for the balabayit, exactly what the balabayit said, and the other one is for me. So here, says Rav Sheshet, there is no proof to say that adding on a shalichut is considered still fulfilling that shlichut. Why? Because here he didn't add. He said, the balabai permits you to take one. Take one. I permit you to take an additional one. So he fulfilled the balabai 100%, exactly what the balabai told him he fulfilled. That's it. Okay, so there's no proof from here that someone who does more than the balabai also fulfills. Why? Because he didn't do more. He did exactly what the balabai told him, and he himself caused a direct me'ilah of the second case. Mahu detema. And again, I would have thought, akar shaliach shalichute de balabayit velo limol. Okay? I would have thought, again, in this case, the fact that he's specifically contradicting the balabayit, like right in the face of the people, that might have uprooted his shlichut, right? Meaning, if he's literally saying, the balabayit lets you take one, and I let you take an additional one, mahu detema, I would have said, akar shaliach shlichute, that the shaliach has uprooted his entire shlichut de balabayit, of what the balabayit said, because he's doing something different. Velo limol, and therefore that the balabayit should be exempt. Kamash malan, the Mishnah comes to teach us that no, since he said the balabayit allowed one and I allowed another one, both the balabayit and he and the people who took one extra are all responsible. Good?
Yeah.
Okay, let's start the next Mishnah. Very interesting cases in this Mishnah as well. Amar lo, he said to him, Havei li min hachalon o min hadluskima. Okay? It's not clear exactly what a dluskima is, but some sort of other place where people stored things.
Yeah.
Okay?
Intensely, he says, that you store money.
Yeah, I mean, whatever. The point is, it's something where you stored stuff. Okay, I've seen chests, I've seen different things. Amar lo, so he said to him, if the balabai told the shaliach, Havei li min hachalon, I want you to bring me something either from the window storage, o min hadluskima, or from the dluskima storage, vehevi lo. And then he brought it to him, afal pisha amar balabait, even though the balabait said, lo haya bilibi, really in my heart, it was only elamizeh that I wanted you to bring from one of these two locations, and you brought me from the other location. At the end of the day, says the Mishnah, right, behavi mizeh, and you brought from the other location, balabait mal, the balabait is still responsible. Meaning, it's nice that the balabait is saying, well, I really wanted, one second, do we end now?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, I was thinking we were going for another 5 minutes. Okay, we'll start the Mishnah again tomorrow.
Okay.
I just saw like a lot of people coming. I was like, more than usual. And then I was like, oh, maybe because I'm late.
Okay.
I
was totally discombobulated.
Yeah, yeah.
I forgot
okay.
I forgot to, I had to
have a good day, everybody.
Halfway here in Britain.